Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm Robert A. Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom NLI Radio. And tonight we're going to talk about world peace with Lori Rubenstein. Lori has spent 18 years as a divorce attorney mediator and will tell you she quickly ascertained that the court system is not an unhealthy environment for families. Her passion for helping others led her down the path of relationship and divorce coaching, where she realized forgiveness was the cornerstone of all her work. As a forgiveness teacher, coach, author, and inspirational speaker, you will find Lori walks her talk. Lori's special gift is helping people to see her perspective, to see new perspectives so they can step into a new and more empowering life. Lori carries the torch of practicality as well as the spiritual aspects of forgiveness, acceptance, and compassion. Her primary mission is to help people heal from the hurts caused by relationship, or as Lori calls them, spiritual partnerships. Lori's unique outlook on painful life experiences is enlightening and refreshing. She helps people see that what they call tragedy can, in fact, be the soul's greatest gift. Without any further ado, I want to welcome Lori Rubenstein to the show. Welcome, Lori.
Thanks, Rob. I'm really happy to be here.
And it's my privilege. And I also want to do one thing before we get started. Lori has a book, and it is called Forgiveness, Healing Your Past, and Finding the Peace You Deserve. And it's on. You can find it at LoriRubenstein.com or on Amazon.com, and probably more places. But Lori, how is the world? Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just laughing. And more places.
and I don't know them, so that's all I could say. But here's the thing: how is the world actually begging for forgiveness from the past right now in all facets or all corners of the world, do you feel?
Well, you know, I think that there are people, we call them light workers, people who motivate other people to want to do better, to be better, to be all that they can be. And I think, you know, every generation has had amazing people, you know, to use as role models in the peace, in the world of peace. You know, we've had Gandhi, we've had Martin Luther King, we've had Jesus, you know, we've had people throughout all time. But now, I think that people are really waking up in the world and saying, I mean, not just we don't want war anymore. I mean, that's definitely one level of peace. And I think most of the planet is on that, not all the planet, obviously, because there's still a lot of tribal wars going on, but most of the people at least are on the level of, I don't want to have war anymore. We don't want to kill each other. But what's happening, I think, is that people are waking up to things like reincarnation. You know, they're realizing that they've had past life incarnations and that there could be karma in past lives, and that they could have been, if they're prejudiced in this life, you know. All of a sudden they wake up and they say, hey, wait a second, I could have been that in a previous life. You know, we're waking up and we're saying we're all one. And we're finding that once we stop that language, that we versus them or we versus they language, we're not wanting that anymore. And I'm hearing it all the time.
And, you know, we are starting to hear it more, but here's the thing. What would happen, Lori, if they started putting images on peace on TV and video games?
What images?
What images of peace and prosperity on the TV screen and in the video games? What if they start putting them images in the game and make them the video games and what they talk about on TV and in history books? How would that open the world up to peace and prosperity?
Well, one of the things is that I think we become numb to violence and to people being hurt with all the images that we're seeing, all the news reports. You know, we're constantly hearing bad things. And then you have all the fake bad things, you know, like all the video games and all these awful, terrible movies where people are dying. I mean, I always, Rob, I don't know if you feel this way too, but I've always thought it was very odd that we would let a child watch gruesome images of people being killed and maimed and burned and stabbed and shot down, but we would never let the children watch two people making love. You know?
Yeah.
I just think that's just, it's just such an odd thing in our culture to be raised with violence is okay, but, you know, sexual love anyway is not okay. So I think in a culture or a community that thinks that way, of course we're going to keep passing that down to our children. I think people are starting to get sick of it, although I have to say, I mean, a lot of people love, you know, violent video games. Today there's some new video game out. I don't know if you heard this on the news, but something like 1 million people already bought it and are taking the day off work to stay home and play this video game, which is about, I think, stealing cars or something like that.
Yeah, and now when some poor kid's going to steal a car, the parents are going to blame it on the video game.
they're
going to sue that video. I almost bet, Lori, I should say I have a premonition that some kid will steal a car and the parents are going to sue the video maker. I can see that. And I'm on Lori's webpage, LoriRubenstein.com. And on October 1st, 2013, Finding Peace Through Forgiveness in Sedona, Arizona, you have an event, don't you?
Yeah, actually, on the 1st at Unity, actually the first Tuesday of every month at Unity, I'm going to be speaking about forgiveness and about how to build your forgiveness muscles. And so my idea is that the more we practice and the more we talk about forgiveness, the easier it'll be. You know, we won't have to struggle with it like we had in the past. This coming Saturday for Peace Day, there's an International Peace Day on the 21st. I'll be down in Phoenix at Storm Wisdom. So listeners can, you know, check out the webpage, the www.LoriRubenstein.com. And there is something every single month, on the second Tuesday of the month, I do a broadcast. You can either get on by the web or by the telephone. And it's just 15 minutes on forgiveness, on different topics. And so this month I'm really concentrating on self-compassion. So if anybody is like, you might not beat up and judge other people, but you might beat up and judge yourself. This is a time to really work on yourself and loving yourself and not beating up on yourself.
You know, it's kind of ironic that you're on the show because I wrote a newsletter yesterday when I'm unselfish to myself, I'm unselfish to the world.
Yes. And, you know, do you have that in front of you?
Yeah, I do.
Can you just read a little bit about that? Not to put you on the spot or anything, Rob.
It's okay. I put myself on the spot. I don't need help. No, I now grasp it is unselfish to be shamelessly, lavishly wealthy, colossally successful, experiencing limitless life with a never-ending cash flow, a serenity of unconditional love from the right partner to travel the universe's vista, seeing how good a time we can enjoy to openly receive lavish avalanches of affluent abundance to unrestrictedly give my wisdom to the people of the universe to teach them how to fish their inner reservoirs of their state-of-the-art talent pool to drool at their newfound astonishing That isn't the right one. There's two of them the same date.
But that still, you know, one of the things that I get from that, Rob. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
One of the things that I get from that, and is one of those lessons that I'm teaching, is that we really are all one. And what we're all looking for is this thing called love. And, you know, whether you're somebody who prays to the divine, who prays to God, if you communicate with your guides, your higher self, whatever it is you believe in, having that communication, that open communication, and developing that relationship is so important, because that really is the thing that connects us. That's the thing that is sparked in every single human being. And once we feel like this is okay to do on a regular basis, we will feel more connected and our hearts will be more open with everybody that we come into contact with.
And that's true. And here's the one I was going to read. I am unselfish to me. I'm unselfish to me. Instantly shows me I'm unselfish to the world. To unfurl my prize wisdom, my prize winning shenanigans that begin my thin icing of baked cake daringness, to beam a feisty flare enticing the intuitive radicalism, to get my ism. I see me as unselfish ardor, heading out the door to soar. To my ism is I shatter mistrust that embosses disgust, because I felt everything in this world was blessed to be mine before somebody else's, and I was the one divvying up the physical possessions for all. Give me a snowball chance in hell to live my dreams, as I would say I love myself unconditionally, even though I compose the issue of the toilet tissue of misuse of unraveled title of my egotistical tattletale that impaled my get. And go. As my characterizing classiness showed up, unwound my profound ego, shattering resolve, dissolving all meddlesome might that keep crawling around, making me itch, that slams me. But anyway, where it comes into saying is, when I love myself unselfishly, I love the world unselfishly.
Right. And you recognize that higher spiritual connection with other people. Once you're walking that talk, once you're being that person. But when you're living from the ego, you know, when you're living from that ego and trying to gather up all the possessions and going mine, 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 you're separating yourself out from everybody else. And you can't receive when you're so busy holding on so tight to what you already have.
And that's probably the most profound statement that will expand everybody out. But you know what ego stands for is egat, ouch, something's going to hurt.
Yeah, or edging out God. Edging God
It's edging out God, but I call it egat, something's going to hurt, because there's going to be some pain to get through this.
That's right.
And I'm going to be honest with you, Lori, the male ego... is probably the most hardest thing to even try to fissure. But once it starts fissuring, you know, for me, they've just kept bringing my mirrors right in front of me, and egad, some of that was really bad. What's that?
Sorry, you just said something very profound, and I just wanted your listeners to recognize that what you're doing is, when you're in that ego mode, is you really are pushing away from you everything you ever wanted.
And, you know, it's really about a conceited control that I really encompassed it, and I didn't think I did, but it was a conceited control that I wanted to make everything fit into my world my way. And, you know, they have... God and the universe and all the mystical sources, they have a way of showing you, oh, yeah, it's your way right after you see our way.
Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately,
anyway,
sometimes to be humbled, you know, we have to be humiliated first.
And, you know, that's a very true statement right there. This year could make that taste better. But you also got one coming up, event coming up in Cottonwood, Arizona on October 3rd, 2013, from self-blame to self-love. Now, there's a big thing right there, self-blame. How is that actually really the festering of the ego to keep you in the same place, Lori?
Yeah, people say this to me all the time, that I could forgive other people, but I can't forgive myself. You'll find, especially for people in the world of addiction, you know, even as we're younger in life, you know, we all make mistakes, we all do things, and sometimes we grow up in a religious culture community where shame and guilt are really pronounced. And even, you know, so other people will sort of beat us up and tell us how bad we are. Even after those people are long gone, we'll continue doing that ourselves. And so you hear this, you know, if you're involved at all in like a 12-step program, for example, people really hate that step four, where you have to, you know, make an inventory of everything you've done wrong, because sometimes when you're living in that world of addiction, it is really painful to look at yourself. But even if you're, you know, not in an addictive society, we've all done things that are really horrible to other people. We've all hurt other people. I mean, I remember this one thing. I never hardly talk about this, but when I was in college, I was dating somebody and then seeing somebody else. And, you know, just really, it was so hurtful to both those people, you know, but there I was doing that. So, you know, I could spend the rest of my life feeling guilty of it, and some people do. I totally don't, you know. I have apologized, and I truly have, you know, renounced that part of me that would do something like that to another human being.
And, you know, it's true. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, Lori, I wrote a newsletter. It's called I Bared My Soul, Heart and Soul. And he's got it's a ruthless truth, but it's just a cold-hearted truth. You got to write it everything. And you got to admit it to get it, to get rid of it, to get what you want or what you desire.
And, yeah, and when you take that personal responsibility for it, then you learn the lessons and you find the gifts in that, and you learn how to live a different life, a life with more integrity, with more honesty, and then it's a blessing, and then we don't have to feel guilty anymore because we have learned our lesson. So being honest, telling the truth, accepting what is, what happened, and then moving forward.
And isn't that where the shame and blame comes? For me, anyway, but I'll get you to answer this. When you're really blaming and shaming yourself because of what you did, isn't it really because you're afraid to get the real lesson in the situation? Because it was a life-expanding situation.
You know, I think one is we can't even wrap our minds around sometimes the hurt that we've caused somebody else. We don't want to think of ourselves as that person. So, you know, when somebody hurts you and you can point your finger at them and blame them, if you're doing that internally, you're also doing it externally, and there is no forgiveness because you're in this mode. It's this right-wrong thinking that there's a right way and there's a wrong way, and I did wrong, and I am wrong. You know, there's like guilt is I did something wrong. Shame is I am wrong. I am bad. And when you take guilt on over and over and over again, then you start believing there really is something internally wrong with you.
And, you know, and that's the thing. And it takes a lot of opening up to yourself to admit everything in life has been a lesson. It's a life-expanding lesson to get you on a journey of success. But we've been taught, Lori, don't you feel by the system, society, just our everyday growing up, that we got pointed way, the wrong got pointed way out to you more than the good you did?
Oh, yeah. There's a book by a woman named Diana Haskins. I don't remember the name of the book, but it's about teenagers. And it's about how to manage your teenagers, how to get along with your teenagers. And it talks about respect, but it also talks about finding the good that they do. And, you know, anybody who's been a parent of teenagers knows that sometimes it's really hard to find something good that they did. And because we're so into that noticing what's wrong, you know, what they did wrong. And the goal is to find at least one good thing every day and tell them about it.
And, you know, they do really more good than we really give them because we're trying to make them live to our way of thinking. I know when I was married and I did that really bad, I wanted them to think and do things perfect. Well, they ain't never going to do it my way. They're going to do it their ways, which is right, as long as it's a moral and ethical thing, wouldn't you say, Lord?
Yeah, and as long as we realize that, you know, everybody has their own path, and we try to make our children conform to our path, but that's not what their path is. They need to find and learn their own path. I mean, we certainly didn't want to be told what to do and how to do it, yet we turned around and we grew up and we became what we didn't like in our parents. And I think that that is the way things go oftentimes, but I hope we get better and better with each generation where we have more respect for our children as individuals. I mean, we do know that our children often come into this world as our teachers. You know, we think we're the teacher. We get misled when we have children thinking we're going to teach them so much, but the truth is we learn probably more than we teach.
Well, that's a good teacher. The better the student, the better the teacher. The better the destiny.
Right.
This is Forgiveness, Chapter 1, from Heal Your Past, Find the Peace You Deserve. I'm going to read the first sentence here. Forgiveness is probably the most divine act we can do. It's one of those things we count on God to do for us. What if we follow the lead of the God within? And with that that phrase right there, the God within, doesn't that allow you to free yourself and forgive yourself and then move forward, Lori?
Yes, if we're all connected, and that's why I mentioned it earlier, Rob, the idea of connecting to the divine or your higher source, whatever that is, on a regular basis, because the more connected you are, the more willing you are to see the divinity in yourself, the more willing you're able to forgive, because forgiveness really, truly is the mastery trait, the mastery value, the mastery action that we can all take that really brings us closest to God. I mean, it's really the number one thing we can do that brings us closer to our higher self, our soul.
And, you know, that's very true. But here's something I had this question in mind, and I really wanted to ask you. If you really truly listen to your heart and to your inner wisdom, would you really ever have to do forgiveness? Because I went back and remembered everything, every time I had a heartbreak, every time my inner self told me the way to go, and I went the opposite way, and it kind of has a vindictive attitude. He says, don't listen, I show you, now forgive. Do you feel that, Lori?
Yes. And I think there's a lot of people in the world who feel exactly that way. I mean, we've all had that, and it is true. The other piece, I guess, of that is that, yes, if we listen to ourselves, we do better in our life. And, yes, we can learn our personal and spiritual growth lessons without having like the worst and hardest thing happen to us. We can do it that way. But for a lot of us, I think the truth is that sometimes we need the hit over the head to become, like we just said earlier, to become really humble. We need to be humiliated a little bit. We need to, you know, basically get that, like, down on your knees, you know, talking to God, please, you know, forgive me, heal me, you know, whatever it is, so that we can move out of our ego self and really get closer to God.
And that's very true. And, you know, the thing is, and something else I've learned, Lori, and it's called sovereign innocence. Every situation has been innocent of everything I blamed it or shamed it about, because there was a learning lesson in there. And if I can see every incident as an innocent, I allow myself to expand through that. And isn't
that
sovereign
beautiful.
Innocence kind of like a forgiveness? That's actually going to be in a book called Sovereign Innocence. And the new book I have coming out is called I Forgive Me, I'm Free.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
And
so when is that coming out? This week? Next week?
Next week, probably, because we're just putting the cover on there. But here's the thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness is probably the strongest and the most heartfelt thing you can do for oneself, wouldn't you say, Lori?
Yeah, I think it's the greatest gift you can give yourself. And, you know, and others, because we're, you know, sometimes we're just so chained to the person who hurt us, or to the event that we were part of, that we allow that event or that person to run our lives. And when you want to get free of that and you really want to have freedom in your life and you want to feel at peace, you want to find that peace within, we have to break the chains with whether it's an incident or an I'm not good enough feeling or somebody else who doesn't have our best interests at heart. We're allowed to cut those chains, you know, that link us in that way. And that's why in the book I talk about boundaries so much, because it's very difficult for people to forgive when their boundaries are still, when somebody's still doing something, for example, to them. I had a client who once used this analogy. It's like having an open wound, and every single time it starts healing over, it starts getting over, it gets kicked off again. And that wound just won't heal until we have enough time between whatever happened and the present to really be able to release it and forgive it and let it go.
And, you know, that's true. But hasn't the world, and since we've been, if somebody does something to you, you got to be vindictive and get it back. Isn't the subconscious vindictiveness that we've been taught really the forgiveness we need to really start with, Lori?
Yeah, you know that whole idea of loving or praying for your enemies? That is so hard to do. I mean, that is so hard to do. And I know, I mean, I hear people who pray for their exes all the time, you know, and I think that's the most beautiful thing in the whole world, because once you can really pray with an open heart or send them love and light, you know, whatever it is you do, when you're doing it for somebody who you know really doesn't like you, that's huge. That's God right there in action.
You know, the thing is, if you got something to say, say it, but let it all go right afterwards. I mean, you don't hold it in, but you don't have to say it. Go someplace, say it. Get the vindictiveness out of you in a neutral place, and then start the healing process, as the forgiving process or the letting go or the expanding out, whatever you want to do, but free it. But never do the vindictiveness where you live, because it stays in the house you say it. So if you say it outside, it goes away.
And it's good to speak your truth. It's good to speak up. And I would say, before you're going to say something to someone that you do feel like it's a confrontive kind of thing, just ask for grace. You know, just say a little thought in your head, please let me say this, but let me say it with grace, so that it can be heard and received.
And the website is LoriRubenstein.com. The book is Forgiveness, Heal Your Past, and Find the Peace You Deserve. There it is, Peace You Deserve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Lori, how is it that people have the hardest thing is finding their own peace?
You know, it's those 64,000 thoughts that people have a day, and there's such a huge percentage of them that is negative self-talk. And this is practice. Again, this is, goes back to that idea of building your forgiveness muscle so that you can let it go. You know, if you feel, for example, if you feel like you're fat, you can spend 32,000 thoughts a day on I'm fat, or you can accept it and forgive yourself for being that way. And you can make a decision, I'm going to do something or I'm not. And if I'm not going to do something, then I might as well just love it and let it be.
That's absolutely the truth. And the website, again, is LoriRubenstein.com. The book is Forgiveness, Heal Your Past, and Find the Peace. September 21st in Phoenix at the Unity Church. Is that right?
At in Phoenix at Storm Wisdom. And then October 1st is at Unity in Sedona. And then October 3rd is for the Cottonwood Eclectic Group. And again, all those addresses are on my website.
Yes, they are. You can go to where it says events and you'll see them right there. And Lori, we're out of time, and I want to thank you for being here and all the listeners. Please give the people some wisdom, and I'll close out the show.
Well, Rob, it was such a pleasure being with you. And so I'll give a piece of wisdom from the Dalai Lama. It says, we can never obtain peace in the outer world until we make peace with ourselves.
And with that said, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody, and we'll be here Thursday night with Kimberly West. We're going to be talking about marketing. And thank you, Lori.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye, and thanks to all the listeners, and good night.